Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Live and local all the way till 5 a.m. here on 670 The Score. It is Gabe Ramirez leading you right into Mully and Haw. What a show they have planned for you today with some heavy hitters, man. Olin Kreutz is going to be on at 7. DJ Moore joins the fellas at 8 a.m. as well. And then, of course, throughout the day, a number of guests joining each and every one of our shows as we have Bears coverage for you all day long. Ready to take some phone calls, 312-644-6767, porque Dios mío, that game was exactly what you wanted from the Chicago Bears. I think my friend, before I get out to the line, my friend Pito, who I mention often, you know, he was talking about some grace to be given, you know. Before I get out to Anthony in Brighton Park, Anthony, appreciate the phone call, man, and everybody else that's on hold right now. He said, this is a good point. You know, we complain about Shane Waldron. We complain about Coach Eberflus. We complain about the fact that, you know, the Bears would get out coached. That's what everybody thought this weekend. But even, he said, even the great Sean McVay schemes up a tight end and a running back to block a top defensive end. And what was the result of that? Montez Sweat, strip sack, right? So sometimes DeAndre Carter, you know, being left in to block a tight end by himself, just happenstance, right? And it happens throughout the course of a game. Also talked about, you know, pre-snap penalties. I mentioned it at the beginning of the show that, you know, what do people say that's attributed to? Poor coaching. Well, did you see how many pre-snap penalties the Baltimore Ravens have? And they're coached by Mr. Harbaugh, right? So, again, it's just a reminder that every game is not perfect for every coach. And we as fans, because you hear people complain about that, we as fans live and die with these things. But we got to give ourselves, our teams, and our coaching staff a little more grace. But let's talk about that grace that should be given out right now. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Can't wait to talk to you. Let's go to Anthony out in Brighton Park. Anthony, welcome to the show.
How are you, Gabe? I last spoke to you prior to the draft, and it seemed like Caleb Williams was going to be a foregone conclusion. So you asked me who did I want at 9, and I told you Roma Dunze, and you said that that's who you wanted, and it worked out that way.
Which I'm so glad it did.
Yeah.
I think, hold on, before we get into the game, because this brings me to a great question, Anthony, because I do remember this conversation. And I was thinking heavily about this next question I'm about to ask you, and I've yet to ask it on the air, so that I'm glad you brought that up. Are you more concerned about the relationship with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, or Caleb Williams and DJ Moore?
I would say that I am equally concerned because I have heard DJ in interviews. I like him. He seems not only a great player, but a wonderful human being. He doesn't complain. He's not advocating, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. He's not like that. He's very professional. He knows the ball has to be distributed around. But I wanted to tell you something that I didn't tell you before. We had a discussion about Fields, and you were talking to me about C.J. Stroud, who would I prefer. And what I did not tell you is that I am totally blind. And the reason why that's relevant is because I listen to the games on the radio. I don't see television clips of highlights. And that's why I couldn't answer you. I don't usually tell that to people on the air. But I wanted you to know.
I appreciate that.
I wanted you to understand that I wasn't ducking a question. Yeah. I just couldn't answer it.
Yeah. That makes complete sense to me. Now that you've been able to hear a little bit about Caleb Williams over these, you know, last few months, and now you've been able to have a sample size of your own to compare what you've heard about, you know, Justin Fields, what have you been thinking about the new quarterback for the Bears?
Well, he's a kid. He's 22 years old. I think that we have seen some progress and some growth already. Even though the Bears lost the game last week, he threw over 300 yards. I was quite the Fields fan, and I don't think Fields threw for over 300 yards in his third game. And to go back to your original question, he has to distribute the ball to other people. He threw 9 completions to Cole Kmet last week, and I think he's looking for the open guy, which is what he's supposed to do. DJ Moore is a great receiver. He's the Bears' number one receiver, and if he gets the ball to DJ, I think that's great. But I can understand why he would be looking to get to Rome, because they formed a relationship. They established that rapport right away before they were even drafted.
Yeah.
Which I think was very positive. He was very, very excited when he heard that Rome was coming. I think that Caleb is a smart young man, and I think that he has personality, which, of course, is important when you're working with other people. He has he's gotten his teammates to buy in.
Yes, he has.
He's done a really good job as a young man, a young quarterback. Those are my thoughts. I was going to ask you, what did you think about C.J. Stroud talking to Caleb at the end of the game? There's some people who didn't like it. I actually liked it.
Yeah.
I thought that he was sincere.
I agree with you. I will since you let me into a little internal part of your life, I'll let you into mine. David Hall texted me about mentioning something, and David Hall texted me about C.J. Stroud, and we got into the conversation about this very thing, right, over text.
Yeah.
And we disagreed on it because I said I had no problem with it whatsoever because C.J. Stroud said he simply was trying to pay forward what was given to him.
Absolutely. And I heard that.
Yeah. And to me, that stood out because if you watch any interview of C.J. Stroud or watch any podcast, he's a genuine, humble guy that really wants, you know, the best for the people around. He's not some, you know, punk.
I agree with you, Gabe, and I think he's very mature for his years.
Yes, and he genuinely wanted to, because remember, let's not forget, he began the conversation with Caleb Williams with a bit of advice before he pulled him to the side. He said, hey, don't take them hits. And then when he realized, like, you know what, maybe he's not listening to me. I gotta pull this guy in to really hit him with a gem because people did this to me. Like, hey, for real, you're going to be great. Da-da-da-da-da. So I didn't take it as when people were saying, like, he was trying to sun him or he was trying to little bro him or whatever they were saying. I didn't take that at all. And Haw, although, like, you agree with my stance, was just like he felt that there was still a small drop of arrogance in there, just, you know, like I'm really good and I'm going to tell you how to do this.
Yeah, well, I heard him and I disagreed with him also. I think that when you listen to people speak, you have to listen for the spirit with which they approach what it is that they're saying. And I think that C.J. Stroud approached it with a spirit of generosity. He was, as you were saying, he was trying to pay it forward because people had been kind to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I took it.
100%. I took it in the very same way. And there's a couple other points that I wanted to touch on as well, Anthony, because you brought up some great ones. You know, first, D.J. Moore. And I had the opportunity to meet D.J. With my job at the Chicago Fire, he was sounding the alarm to kick off a game. I'm the in-game host for the Fire. So we had a chance to chat, and he's just as humble and as even-keeled as you would have imagined in person. And you sort of get an understanding of him and say, oh, you're really about your business. Like,
right.
You know, you're
I agree with you. I agree with that assessment.
Yeah, you're a quiet guy that just loves to handle your business. So I got that from being around him. So that was great. I think when it comes to the wide receiver situation for the Chicago Bears, and that's why I posed the question in the beginning, is because the wide receiver situation for the Chicago Bears, for lack of a better word, is in probably the best situation it's been in decades. Why? Because DJ Moore and Roma Dunze are under contract for the next 3 or 4 years. And Caleb Williams has two bona fide, you know, call them A1 receivers if you want, but that level of receiver, which the Bears have not had, it's always been a carousel of receivers for the Chicago Bears. But now there are mainstays. There is an opportunity for him to build this relationship over seasons with these guys, which is going to be incredible to watch play out. But again, I struggle with whose relationship I want to blossom bigger or have a, you know, to be better. And I can't decide if it's Roma Dunze or DJ Moore, because DJ Moore is who he is. And Roma Dunze is still growing. And I feel like, I don't know, I struggle with it, Anthony.
Well, my perception of it is he can get the ball to both of them, and it'll make the team better. That's my perception of it.
I agree with it. All right, last question I got before you guys. I've been asking people this. Now, from what you've heard over the last 4 games, do you feel like the Bears are a playoff contending team?
Well, I didn't before the game today, but the game today gave me a little more confidence. I liked how they came through in all 3 phases. I thought Tory Taylor was outstanding. I thought the defense was outstanding, and I loved to see how Swift came to play. He had not been getting any openings because the line was not making it possible for him. I remember when I was a kid, Gale Sayers used to say, just give me like 18 inches of daylight and I'll do the rest.
That's great. And it's what we could hope for. Hey, Anthony, it was great chatting with you. I'll be on next week as well. So if you're up late, man, make sure you shoot me a call. I'd love to hear what you have to say about the Bears Panthers. For sure, man. Talk to you soon. 312-644-6767. It's what we're doing. Talking about this Bears game. I mean, it was a thing of beauty. Listen, and you can say, Gabe, but what about this? Yeah, but there's beauty in that. Overcoming 8 or 9 penalties.
A win is a win.
Yeah, but I hear that, right? And that's always beautiful, right? But your offense played well. You had a turnover and you scored a touchdown as a result of it. That's beautiful for me, right? When I'm thinking about my Bears and how I want them to play and what I want it to look like for me, the defense is good. I'm tired in years past where the Bears defense gets a stop and you get a field goal. No, touchdown today. The defense holding the opponents to field goals when they get into plus territory. That feels good. Special teams handling business. Would it have been nice for the Bears to get that first down at the very end of the game? Yeah, that would have been nice. But let me ask you this, Bears fan. Who would you rather have on the field at the end? Banking on Caleb Williams to get a first down or banking on the Bears defense to stop Matthew Stafford from the, you know, pinned inside the 10. I like my chances. I don't hate my chances with the Bears defense, and certainly they came through. We saw it happen. A lot of people have a lot of things to say, man. Again, phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. A couple text messages coming in on whose relationship is more important to have secured, Caleb and DJ or Caleb and Rome. 100% DJ Moore, 3 Romes in a row. He's younger. That relationship needs to build. But Coach Eberflus had a lot to say about this Bears victory. Proud of the guys focusing on the basics, right? What the Bears need to do, and most teams can do that, but they have to have special play in between. He talked about that, talked about some of his guys on defense. Can't wait for you to take a listen. Here's Coach Eberflus following the game.
Good afternoon. Good to see everybody. So I just got out of the locker room with the players, and I just told them how proud I was of them in terms of them, working, partnering with the coaches to improve. You know, I thought we took a big step in that direction this week, improving on offense, defense, and special teams. And you could really see that during the course of the game, the complimentary football of us, you know, taking the ball away on defense and then scoring that 7 points down there. That was really huge. And then at the end of the game, you could really feel that all three phases really to seal the deal, you know, on the game. So, you know, you get those stops on defense. You know, the offense really does a great job with the clock at the very end. And then we get that interception. Great punt and pin. The punter was great today. Torrey was awesome. Switching the field several times, using him as a weapon. And he was excellent, too. And excited for a couple guys. You know, Swift, you know, had a really nice game today. So I was excited for him. He's been working his tail off. He always stays positive. But, again, that's not just him, right? That's the offensive line. You know, working the double teams, making those holes in front of them. And then the perimeter blocking I thought was really good, much improved. You know, from the first couple weeks, you know, defense was really good in the red area. You know, they did move the ball some on us, and the guys rose up to the occasion. And then we honored the football. You know, the football was where we were two, got two. We ended up not getting the other one. He called out a bounce, but we ended up getting two and then, you know, not giving it away. So when you win that battle, plus two in the turnover margin, you got a good chance for success. But again, really proud of the guys. I guess a really good team victory in there. And at the end, I gave, you know, Mercedes Lewis a game ball because that's his 272nd game in the NFL. He's 40 years old and been playing tight end a long time. And so that's a pretty big moment for anybody. But he was a little bit emotional in there, and it was good. It was good to see those guys. But I love the guys in the room. You know, they're passionate. They love each other. And they're a tight group. And as a coach and coaches, the best moment for you is when you have a victory and you get to see those guys smiling in the locker room. So that was good to see. With that, I'll take questions.
Sorry, Matt, what has been the difference with the second half of this team? It seems like for the second week in a row, you all have found a rhythm offensively as opposed to the first half. What has been that driving factor that happened?
Yeah, I just think it's growth. We have to grow into that. You know, it's like I said, this is we only had a few games together. So I think we're improving every single week. We're addressing the issues that need to be addressed. You know, early on, it was, you know, getting in and out of the huddle and, you know, cadence and making sure we're doing good there. And then it was, you know, distributing the ball to different skill sets. We did that. Now it's running the football. You know, we did a better job with that. So we're just addressing the issues when you're building chemistry in the first time together. With a new and a young quarterback, I just think that's just part of growing.
Matt, after all the issues you had last week against the Colts, you know, players and coaches, what are you most satisfied about the way you personally and just this team responded?
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. They're going to respond. You know, every single week you have issues. You know, because we won the game, you know, you still have things you need to work on. You know, we're going to look at the tape. And, you know, we're going to celebrate this win for 24 hours, and we're going to look at the tape, and we're going to, you know, pinpoint things that we need to improve on. And there will be things that we need to improve on all three phases. And we do that every single week, and that's how you grow and get better as a football team.
Matt, the run game was probably the best that you've seen this year. Is there anything specific that contributed to that?
Just hard work. You know, it comes down to fundamentals, right? Alignment, assignment, doing your thing the right way, and basic football, you know, and you got to move people. And the offensive line did a really good job with that today. I thought the runners did a really good job with their demeanor in terms of their pad level and knocking the pile forward. I thought I saw that a lot today, which is good. You get those extra bonus yards. But again, it just comes down to hard work and being determined and being detailed.
How impressed were you with Torrey Taylor's punting abilities today?
Yeah, I see it every day. I see it every week. He's got a couple different sand wedges, I think. So he's pretty good.
Was Doug Kramer have any chance he was going to catch a pass today?
Hey, you never know. I know he's one of our Chicagoland guys, but yeah, I was excited for him. I really was. It was good to see him in there playing fullback. He did a good job reporting when he came in there, so it was good. It was good, and you know, having those downhill plays is always good.
What was the decision to kind of simplify things with the goal line package, bringing Doug in? I know there's a lot of conversation about the goal line situation last week. This week, you guys didn't play no games, went jumbo, brought him in. What was that decision?
You know, just looking at our players, you know, trying to use the whole roster and making sure that we're, you know, always thinking forward, you know, and being productive. And really, my hat's off to the offensive staff, you know, utilizing the people and getting the scheme to do that.
Matt, the Brisker sack coming out of the timeout, anything particular you saw there that made that such a good call? Or
Yeah. I mean, field position played a factor into it for sure, because they were there on the plus side. You know, so we wanted to do a good job of knocking them back. We did, but we didn't do a good enough job of keeping them there because they did kick the field goal. But Jaquan was outstanding today. You know, he had that near interception, you know, on the one third down, and then obviously that big sack, and then the pick at the end. So he really is a passionate guy, and that's why he's one of our first draft picks. You know, that it was Kyler and him, and those two guys embody who we want to be as Chicago Bears. Passion, tough. Come to work every day, and those guys are workers.
Coach, what are you seeing from that second group of D-linemen? You guys bring them in and waves, take them all four out, bring them the next four in. What do you like about that second group that's got Austin and Chris Williams and Russell?
Yeah, you have to do that the way we play, because we are full tilt the whole time. You know, so we ask our D-linemen to hustle, from the snap all the way to the tackle. And from sideline to sideline. So you have to have guys that can rotate like that. And I thought the D-line guys, Travis, did a nice job of rotating those guys in there, because it's all about keeping the guys fresh. You know, we have, Tez and, different guys in there that you want to have fresh, Dex at the end. You want to have those guys fresh so they can really rush the passer. If you get into a situation like that where you need them in a two-minute drill, they got to be fresh and ready to go. But the rotation helps them do that early in the game.
And Shane Waldron was under fire this week after the Colts game. How do you like, or what did you think about the way he kind of handled that adversity and responded to it?
Yeah, this is the NFL, right? It's a one-week league. You win a couple games and you're all that in a bag of chips, and then you lose a couple and you're the other thing. So it's water off a duck's back. You know, you got to make sure that you're focusing on your job, focusing on what you do, and making corrections. You know, either way, you can't get too high, you can't get too low. You got to be steady. And that's what you got to do as an NFL coach and an NFL player.
Seems like Darrell Taylor was able to make an impact on the interception. He got the QB hit. Mm-hmm. How has he been able to help this locker room, especially having less time than the rest of the players?
His energy. I mean, the passion he brings, that's why we got him. You know, he got him because he fits right in. When he walked into the room, he was he fit. You know, the way he practices, the way he plays. So he brings it. You know, he just has to learn our system. And he's doing that and doing a really good job with that. And a credit to him. You know, you guys saw the injury report. He was ill for 2 days, you know, and then came in on Friday. And again, Travis Smith and Bing, our defensive line guys, did a heck of a job of getting him ready to play, to execute in the game in a short period of time. And so that's a really good job by the coaches.
Matt, how was Caleb better today than last week?
Yeah, he was better because I thought he looked down the field for the shots, and when they weren't there, he took the checkdowns, and we got a lot of yards on those. So I think that was better for him. Again, he's going to keep improving every single week, but I do think that for him, the operation, the ball, honoring the football and taking care of the football is the number one job of the quarterback, and he did an excellent job of that today. I know he got sacked three times. Okay, we got to clean those things up. Albeit protection or route discipline or whatever that might be when we look at the tape, but protecting the football is important. We were plus two today, and the score showed.
Bears take down the Los Angeles Rams 24-18 yesterday. What a game. It felt good to see, and I look forward to talking to you guys about the game right now. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Before we get out, a couple things that stood out in the thing. Water off a duck's back? Did I miss that in like my colloquial
no,
phrases?
No, that one and then the bag of chips one.
Well, the bag of you never heard of that before?
No. I always like when he says, well, he goes off on a tangent.
Because he sounds like an uncle right there. He sounds like unk. Because he goes, hey, if you do things right, you're all that in a bag of chips. And if you don't, and he thought he was going to hit you with a line. And he's like, and if you don't, you're the other thing.
No, you heard that. I kind of look back and I'm like, water off a duck's back?
He goes, if you don't, you're the other thing. You know, it's kind of like water off a duck's back. I said, water off a duck's back? I don't get it.
Oh, okay, Coach Flus.
I'm gonna look into that in a second, man. But I want to hear your thoughts. A lot of people feeling a certain type of way about Coach Eberflus. But you know what? A win's a win. It's hard to get those in the NFL. A lot of people talk about that. What do you say? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Vic out in Hinsdale. Vic, what's going on, man?
How are you, sir?
Hanging in there. What you got to say about these Bears?
Well, a couple things about that. Water off a duck's back. So former Bears center and Oregon Duck, Hronas Grasu, he might help our line, right? Water off a duck's back.
Great.
Sorry, I went out there. I guess I have a couple questions.
Okay.
The NFC North is not worse, right? So we basically saw the Green Bay Vikings game, and the Lions are playing Monday night. Are we any better after today's game? I guess I'm confused, right? So how are we progressing?
I guess Vic, let's have a friend.
Go ahead,
let's
sir.
Have a friend conversation. No, what do you mean? No, I heard exactly what you were saying. NFC North, is it wide open? How are we progressing? But my question to you is, we have to start with what your personal, as a fan, expectations were of the Bears going into the season. What was that? Fill me in on that.
I appreciate you asking me. I think based on what the pundits suggested.
No, what you thought. What you thought.
So so I'm a big SC guy, and Caleb was the guy. It's awesome seeing Jaden thriving, whatever, right? Under those circumstances, this, that, the other. But this was supposed to be the best part of, you know, this is the best situation that a rookie quarterback could be coming through. Obviously, Keenan was injured, and we didn't really address the offensive line. The initial schedule was favorable. So 2-2, I'm not upset. I guess what my question to you guys is, are we any closer after week 4, right? So we get the Panthers next week, and then, you know, like...
Right, I hear what you're saying. I think we still haven't gotten your answer to the what you thought they were going to be in the beginning, because if you talk about progress, right, we got to talk about what your expectations were. And are we...
My expectations... I thought the line would be better.
No. I'm talking about the team. Give me a record.
Sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, no. Give me a record.
Full stop. I guess I expected 3-1.
No. After 17 games, what did you think the record of the Bears was going to be?
I apologize. 9-8 for sure.
Okay.
And then sneak into the playoffs, which is still on board.
That's what I'm saying. So when you talk about progressing, like, they're 2-2. You thought they'd be 9-8. Like when 9-8, when you're talking about where is it at, it's there. The Bears are .500 after 2 games and getting better. The offense is getting better. The defense has that level of believability where they think themselves they are a top 5 defense. The Shane Waldron is understanding his talent. So I'm just saying, your question was, what you started with was where is the progression of how are they doing it? Well, we're seeing it in real time. And then when you get a victory in this manner against the Rams, who you probably were uncertain that they were going to win this game, right? Because they might have gotten outcoached, because you're playing against Matthew Stafford. But what ends up happening, your coaching staff actually does a good job and continues with their second half adjustments, which is something that Flus was good at last year. Right? Coming in, helping the team, we're getting together, making adjustments, changing things after seeing what was on the field. They continue that this year, but now they add a formidable offense, one that could put up 20-some points a game, not turn the ball over. And I think that's important. That's where you're seeing growth, right? You didn't see Caleb come out again, throw haphazardly, and cause turnovers via the interception. You saw him take control of it.
So what I'll suggest is, actually, you know, people are giving Shane a bunch of crap. But I'm fairly confident he was the OC in Seattle last year. And so McVay saw him, right, twice. So actually, to your point, like, he did make adjustments, right? It's like people are giving Waldron a bunch of crap. But he did come out and see that coach. And, like, they made adjustments. That touchdown to DJ, he dropped that in that tight bucket. Like, I appreciate that, right? Yeah. This is why we drafted Caleb.
Exactly, and it's good, man. It's good to see that's happening and that's continuing, and we look forward to continued growth. Vic, appreciate the call. Going to be on next week as well, overnight, so make sure you chime in. I want to be able to talk to you again, and maybe we both can see some growth, all right? Got to take a break. On the other side, I want to take your phone calls, man. I want to keep this conversation going. Bears get the victory, but we still have a lot of thoughts There are still some concerns that we can point out, but it doesn't mean we can't give our flowers as well. Who do you think did well? Who do you think deserves maybe a kick in the butt? 312-644-6767. Phil, John, I see you. Can't wait to talk to everybody else. We'll do it on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That's right. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you all the way till 5 a.m. talking Bears. And we have tons to talk about. Bears get the victory. I got chicken hanging out next to me right here. A couple cold chicken legs. I've been chomping. You got to get hungry late at night, man. But I got a lot of things to talk about. I know you do, too. Of course. You can call in, man, 312-644-6767. And I want to keep the good vibes rolling all Monday long. Olin Krutz hanging out with Mully and Haw at 7. DJ Moore at 8. Ah, it's going to be great. Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes at 3. Jalen Johnson coming on at 5 p.m. Even if you worked a third shift, wake up at 4:55 and listen to Jalen Johnson with Spiegel and Holmes. It's going to be great. But right now, let's go out to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Phil out in Mount Prospect. Phil, Bears got the dub today, but you feel like you're still concerned about some things. What are they?
Well, the getting off to bad starts in these games, we haven't scored a single point in the first quarter. We're getting behind every game, and we had 97 yards in the first half against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. I feel like we're not preparing well for these games or making good adjustments during the games. We came from behind in two of them. We were 17 zip down the first game against Tennessee and came back and won it. But we can't keep falling behind like this, especially second half of the season when you go up against better teams. The last eight games we have are six division games, and then Seattle and San Francisco. These next five games are very winnable. I'd like to get three or four of these next five because the schedule gets tough in the last eight games of the season, and you can't keep falling behind like this in the first and second quarters against the better teams. You'll never come back on them.
Yeah, I agree. Before I get to my comments right there, what did you think of Shane Waldron in week four and just his progress, right? Because we talk about Caleb Williams a lot, but we got to talk about Shane in a bigger position. Because I could ask you this right now, Phil. Who's the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks? That's my point.
I don't even know right now.
That's my point, though, right? So, like, we don't.
But they started out 3-0, though.
But, No. So. I'm not. Even at 3-0, you still don't know why, because there's little pressure put on him, there's little spotlight put on that guy. And so, Shane Waldron, who we can already see has the shaky hand on the sideline, comes to a major market like Chicago. And not only is he in a major market like Chicago, Bo, by the way, here's your number one pick who's supposed to be a generational talent that you have to do as well. So I think it's a different kind of a spotlight. So you mentioned slow starts, but before I get to that, I want to hear what your thoughts are on Shane Waldron in week four of the season.
Well, I think his play calling was better this week. I was happy to see they went up the middle on that first touchdown and not try an end around on fourth and goal on the 1 yard line. We lost 10 yards on that play last week. I do think he did better in the short yardage situations and got Swift involved in the offense a lot more this week. He was non-existent pretty much the first 3 weeks, and the running game was a lot better. So he did make some improvements in play calling and getting some key players involved in the game and didn't mess up the short yardage situation on the 1 yard line this week.
Yeah.
I predicted the team to go 9-8 before the season started. So okay. I think we're on track for that. The offensive line has to play better to get better than 9-8.
Yeah, I agree. They got to do that. It was cool. You mentioned Shane Waldron, switching it up a little bit. Finally ran for it on third and short and got us the first down. That happened in the second half. That was interesting to see. And that was Roshan on that third and short. But I want to go back to your first point. which was the slow starts for the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Caleb talked about the Bears and the inability to convert on third and short, but he was still happy about the rhythm, the flow of the offense in that very first drive. And so what could have been in that moment, but I understand it doesn't happen often. And then against the Colts, remember, the Bears actually moved the ball well in that game. Fortunately, they just missed the field goal. So they could have put points on the board there. And I think, you know, the moments are there. And I think also, you know, just understanding who you have, where your talent is, and what you need to lean on. And then Caleb Williams, you saw him today getting better at the checkdowns. He mentioned it in the post game, and we're going to play that in a little bit as well. So I think there are, I agree with you. The starts are slow, and that cannot happen if you want to compete against some of the better teams, especially as the season continues. What I want to put a focus on also is that there are moments and things that you can point to say, but that won't be the case come week 9, 10, and 11, because they'll be operating at a higher level, and they have had those opportunities there. But certainly bad starts in the first half, but we're fortunate enough that they can put up points in the second, man. Thanks for the call, Phil. I appreciate it. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you guys hasta cinco de la mañana, until 5 in the morning, right here on 670 The Score. Taking your phone calls, taking your text messages. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to John out in Memphis. John, what's going on, man?
All right. How you doing, sir?
Hanging in there.
That's good. I'm just proud of my boys. They did it today. I haven't seen them play all three phases of the game like that in so long, so many years. Complimentary football, and then the adjustments that Shane Waldron made with the offensive line, putting in Matt Pryor at right guard, I believe.
Yep, starting the game.
Yes, sir. And then now that punter that we got, he's something special. I believe he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't want to overreact to this win.
No. You can't say he's going to be a Hall of Famer and then say, I don't want to overreact, because those would be the same thing.
I will overreact now. Okay. Don't give me encouragement.
I got you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Co-commit. He's doing a phenomenal job. I know he don't have the gaudy numbers, but he's doing a phenomenal job, because I see him blocking. And then he's catching the ball in critical moments. You know, he's that go-to guy for Caleb. As a young quarterback, Caleb needs that. He needs that security blanket.
I agree. And Cole Kmet, right, stepping in at fullback. Kari Blazingame goes down. You saw Kramer back there in certain goal line situations. But Cole Kmet on that big run from DeAndre Swift, after he laid the block, you saw him. He was excited.
Yep.
And that's the complimentary football that you're talking about, where everybody's – and it's also the kind of football that Coach Eberflus was mentioning in the locker room after the game, when talking about players having passion for each other, having passion for the team, for the win. And those are the things that you see on the field where they show up. Now, it did feel good to watch the Bears operate at a high level, being able to run the football, passing it at will. You saw a lot of checkdowns, defense playing at a high level, because you felt then, to me, John, this is what I felt. I was watching a good football team.
Yep.
I was watching someone that could put a team that can put points on the board, can sustain drives, in the second half specifically, right? Could sustain drives, and whose defense is capable. They could put pressure. Yep. They could dial up the blitz if they need be. They could stop the run. They could tackle for a loss on the outside, whether it's Jalen Johnson or Jaquan. It was things that you saw from a good team, and it was that for the first time this season, I felt, okay, this is what I was hoping for.
Yep. I know we started off slow, you know, like the other caller said, you know, that first quarter we haven't scored or whatever like that. But sometimes it's just, you know, you just got to feel the other team out, you know, take a couple body blows, and then just go out and fight. I'm proud of them guys. You know, they really went out there and showed me something. I haven't felt this good about this team in a long time.
Yeah.
But I seen something special today. And Montez Sweat, and Brisker and Kyler Gordon, man, we got something special.
That we do.
On defense.
I say this, John. Mm-hmm. Why can't the Bears be the better Pittsburgh Steelers? Where it's ugly football, it's good defense, and they find a way to win somehow each and every week, regardless of whether who's playing quarterback this season or any season, right? They find a way to win ugly games. Why can't the Bears be the better Pittsburgh Steelers where the offense is a little bit more high-powered than the Pittsburgh Steelers? And the defense, let's call it a wash and say it's equal. But better because the offense is better. Why can't the Bears be that? The Bears can be that. And I think that they're working towards that right now.
It's coming. It's coming. And then I'm going to point this out. Now, in January, the way we ran the ball, we're going to need that in January because I believe we're going to the playoffs. We're going to need that run game because it's going to be cold in Chicago. We're going to need that run game.
Oh, that's assuming they get a home game, John. Now first it's Tory Taylor making the Hall of Fame. Now it's the Bears getting a home game in the playoffs. Man, okay.
I can feel it in my bones.
Yeah.
I can feel it in my bones.
I need to be watching my football games with you, John. I appreciate the phone call, man. Hit me up next week. I'll be on the air as well, midnight to 5, all right? All right, have a good one, John. Again, I mean, it's real. It feels good. Listen, don't be in your car or at your job rolling your eyes at the optimism that you're hearing on the radio. Don't. Embrace it. Bears get the victory. How often in the last 3 years have you had delightful, happy Mondays during the Bear season specifically? Exactly, my friends, few and far between. You only had 7 of them last year and 4 the year before that. You've had 11 in 2 years. Enjoy the dub.
Out of over 30.
That's my point. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. There's some great, great conversation starters that we're discussing here on 670 The Score today. Who's your leader on defense? It's one we've been talking about quite a bit. Who's your leader? Not the leader. The leader, I'm sure the locker room would have a lot of things to say about that. But who's your leader on this Bears defense that you love so much? We've been talking about the Bears offense in a philosophical type of way. Because today, the Bears had a balanced attack. You saw last week, Bears putting up the ball 53 times in the air. Should the Bears be a run-first team? Or because of the weapons that they have at wide receiver and tight end, should they be a pass-first squad? And then one that I've been tossing around lately is, whose relationship is more important when it comes to quarterback wide receiver? Is it more important for, in your mind, for Caleb Williams to have a better relationship with Roma Dunze or with DJ Moore? I say Roma Dunze because, I don't know, I feel like DJ is like Keenan Allen now, or will be, remember, because they're both tied up for the next 3 or 4 years, right? So DJ Moore will be Keenan Allen in that he will be the sure hands.
Can I play devil's advocate really quickly for DJ Moore? Sure. I think it's just because we all know how talented of a receiver he is, and he's had to go through so much quarterback turnover during his NFL career.
True.
This could be the time where he finally has the guy.
That sounded like a beautiful love story you just told, Tyler.
I'm serious. This could be it.
That was in my mind. As you said it, the movie happened in my head. And I said, yes, I want that for DJ because he's such a good guy. I want that.
He doesn't complain. We see a lot of prima donnas and divas complain about contracts and everything. We didn't hear one peep last year from DJ Moore. And I feel like game 2, did you see the play where, you know, he limped off the sideline after that DeAndre Swift catch? Yeah. And we're like, oh, no. He goes back out there after like 2 plays off. Like, the dude plays through some pain. He's not one of these guys that's going to sit down after, like, you know, a stinger or something like that.
I'm 6 feet tall on my best days and in my 20s. I was 6 feet tall in my 20s. And I just mentioned how, you know, I got a chance to hang with DJ. And I don't know what they got him in the books as, but he's my height. Only difference is he's built like a linebacker, right? I go to shake this guy's hand. He's huge, right? I'm looking at him eye to eye, but it's so to your point, it's like he's built for football. He's ready to handle that business.
I didn't realize, too, how slippery. I think that's the perfect term to put him. He's slippery. He's very tricky to bring down.
Yeah, I don't even think it's slippery. I think he's just strong.
My
point,
yeah.
Right? He's muscular. He's strong. He's and if you're a cornerback, yeah, because I'm probably the size of a cornerback. 6 foot, 215. Yes, Puerto Rican people get up to 6 feet tall. I'm 6 foot, 215. I'm not some short Mexican. I get that way too often when I'm on these streets. They're like, dude,
you're going to shadow Jalen Johnson.
I did not think you were going to. Right. Jalen Johnson and I, we're the same. DJ Moore looks like a brick house. And if I am trying to tackle DJ Moore, I can imagine if I try to come in with my arm tackle, and most cornerbacks aren't even 215. They're like 198. So no, I'd have no chance tackling DJ. I'm talking about if I were a professional, which I'm not, but you get the point. A couple of things I want to bring up before we go to break is the fact that, you know, the grace that should be given to people and our coaching staff specifically, the Bears coaching staff specifically. Now, a text came in which reminded me, and it said, the Chiefs fall behind every week. And that was to the point that Phil was making earlier, where he was concerned with the slow starts of the Chicago Bears. The Chiefs fall behind every week. You're talking about Andy Reid and you're talking about Patrick Mahomes, two of the best, right? And it goes to show you that it even happens to them. And that when you talk about Sean McVay, some would consider one of the better coaches in the NFL. He too has a lapse in judgment and leaves a tight end and a running back to block Montez Sweat, which results in a strip sack fumble. And that's Sean McVay. So Shane Waldron putting out, you know, Carter out there to block a defensive end, sometimes it happens like that. There needs to be grace given. And when you're talking about the pre-snap penalties, and some would say it's directly correlated to coaching and saying that the result is poor coaching. Well, did you see how many false starts the Ravens had today? Did you watch that game? Well, check. And then talk to me. Then go tell Harbaugh he's a bad coach.
And they won by 4 scores.
Exactly. Which if you watched any football this season, you knew that was a game to bet the Ravens. They had fallen under, you know, behind the eight ball. There you go.
Yeah,
a couple of those losses.
Yeah.
And so you knew that was to them a litmus test game. The Bills have a good defense. They've been playing well. Ravens come in, lost a couple of games. Now that this is a prove it game for them. And they did in fact do that. So again, there is grace to be given. We got to give people grace in these moments. Did it look bad? Yes. But it's more of a reminder that you cannot look at one game as its own sample size to determine how you are going to feel about a particular player, a particular coach, because you have to look at it on a macro level. You cannot look at it on a micro level, and that's why those things happen. But you know what? I want to hear what you have to say. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Bears win. It's a victory Monday. And I want to know how you're feeling. Do the Bears look like a playoff team to you now after this game? After I just told you don't look at one game in a microscope and try to determine. But you know what? You've had four.
It's a week-to-week league. We got to judge on a weekly basis.
Lovie Smith will tell you you're done with phase one. And you're looking good. What do you think? 312-644-6767. Your phone calls next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.